Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
I want to say thank you to Preston for filling in for us on the bass. Yeah. Woohoo, Preston! Somebody take a picture so we can send it to Pastor Devon and tell him, you better think twice before you miss church. I'm just kidding. Preston is actually, you guys ready for this? From Indiana. Awesome. There's a whole bunch of us here from Indiana. I told him all about that. But he is here visiting. He was at the Anthem School of Worship with all of our team, and so he's here. And Pastor Devon is out, so we put him to work, right? So thank you again for filling in. That was awesome. If everybody's wondering where Pastor Devon is, he and Vilya are at state championships for Anaya for gymnastics. Yeah, pretty impressive, right? And so we're getting text messages letting us know how she's doing so far. And if anybody wants to know, she got an 8.8 on the bars so far. And that matches her highest score that she's ever had. And so we just thank God that she's kept safe and everything works out well for her today. We're super proud of her. And only 6 years old and already competing on a state level. That's pretty impressive, right? We do it right here at BBC, right? Excited to be at church. Sunday just doesn't come soon enough for me. I don't know about you guys. I love Sunday. I love being with the body of Christ. I love worshiping with you. I just love church. I love church. And I hope you do too. We did a series just recently called My Church. And you've got a church you can be proud of. And yesterday we were talking. Brag about our youth a little bit. They're getting ready to go to camp. Yesterday they were all out working and washing cars. I took my car there. They did a great job. And so the youth yesterday raised almost $400. $382? We'll bump that up. Bump that up to $400. So they raised $400. Pastor Scott and I give a little bit more. We'll put it up there to $400. So thanks for everybody who came and got your car washed. And then in a few Sundays we're having our annual pie auction. And so get ready. If you're counting calories, you need to save some because you're going to need them. You're going to need them on Pie Auction Sunday. But today, we're going to just do a couple weeks on this probably to see how the Lord leads. But today I'm going to start something new. And it was inspired. You know, God uses all kinds of things to help me to have messages. And so it was inspired by a mistake. Not mine. Somebody else's. Not that I don't make any. I make my fair share for sure. But we have a door here at the church, a couple of them actually, and they're broken because they're old. This building is pretty old, and it's beautiful, but it requires a lot of upkeep, a lot of work to keep it up. And so one of our doors is broken, and so we had to order a new door, and, you know, it's kind of a big deal. I don't know if you know, but doors are kind of expensive. And so we ordered this door, and we had to have it shipped here. And so they bring we have this door, and it's huge. It's like way bigger than the door that it's supposed to replace. It's a big old door. And so, you know, we've got it, and we're thinking, oh, we're going to have to take this thing back, and it's going to be a pain. And so, you know, you know how you just stare at things and hope they change? How many figured out that doesn't work? You know, I mean, you just sit and stare at something, it does not change. And so we sat and stared at the door, hoping that it would get smaller and be the right door. And, you know, but it's not the right door. But, you know, on the inside, a part of, you know, both of us were kind of like, how can we make this door work? Because the door that we need is like twice as much money. We really need to get this done. How can we make this door work? And so, you know, we're thinking, you know, your thinking face, everybody has one. I look like I'm thinking, right? How can we make this door work? And then finally, I think it was Pastor Scott was like, it's the wrong door. It's got to go back. But as I thought about, you know, just like, oh, we're going to have to. And he's like, we got to wait until we buy the right door because we can't have the wrong door. So anyway, the more I thought about this door, the more I stared at it, because it took a couple days for it to go back, and then Mike took it back for us. It was awesome. Went back, got a full refund. Everything worked out. But I kept thinking about this door and about how, in my mind, I was trying to get it to work. And then I thought, isn't that exactly what we do with our lives so often? We go through a door and we pick it. You guys got my door picture up there, pull that up. We go through a door, because how many know there's lots of doors for us to choose from? Look at all these doors. I mean, some people pick that one with the anchor on it. They're on their boat today. They're out boating on church Sunday. It's summertime. But, you know, there's so many doors. In the Bible, when it talks about doors, it means opportunities. It means choices. And there are so many doors that we can go to, but often we go through the door that we want to go through, and then we get through it, and then we're like, God, bless this. And God's like, that's not the right door. But we get in there, and sometimes that's how we come to prayer. We come to prayer saying, here's my plan, here's my idea, here's what I want to do, so God, I need you to bless this. That's not how prayer works. I mean, no, my favorite commercial. That's not how this works. That's not how any of this works. We're supposed to come in and say, Lord, not my will, but yours. God blesses his will. He blesses his word. He blesses his idea. And so often we go through the wrong door, and it looks good, and it looks pretty, and it looks exciting, and we go through there, and then we're like, man, this is a mess. And instead of just saying, you know what, I messed up, I need to repent, which literally means in the Greek, change direction. I need to change direction. I need to change doors. I need to get out of here, and I need to get into the right place. And so here we are. I don't know if you guys realize this, but June is close. Yeah. June is 2 weeks away. June of 2016. How many think it feels like we just had New Year's? How many is like, Happy New Year, right? It feels like that was like last week. And here we are. We're halfway through the year. And it's kind of like, where'd the time go? And so as I was staring at that door, trying to make it work, and then thank God Pastor Scott's so smart, it's the wrong door. It's got to go back. You know, here we are, and I know that a lot of us in here, we had some plans for this year. We had some spiritual goals that we wanted to meet. We had some financial goals or physical goals or whatever they were. We had things that at the beginning of the year we thought, man, this is my year. This is the year. But here we are, we're almost halfway in. And maybe there's some people in here today, I don't know, maybe we're not on track for those goals. I don't know, but you know, there could be one or two. And so this message is for the one or two. We need a course correction. Because you know, we can just keep going. If you just keep going off course, you're going to wind up one day and you're going to look around and you're going to say, what was I thinking? This isn't the life God had for me. And I know that there are people in this room today, some on a big scale and some maybe just a little bit, but you're saying, you know what? I'm not where I'm supposed to be. Some of you, you're not where you're supposed to be spiritually. You're supposed to be leading and teaching and growing others. But you're still struggling yourself because you're not doing what you need to do. And some, unfortunately, for a group this size, there's probably one or two people in here, you're way off track. You're like, I remember how I was at one time, just so far off track, so far away from God that I remember laying in bed one night thinking, am I still even saved? Listen, if you're wondering if you're saved, you're off track. And then there's probably some people in here today, and you're like, I don't even know what all this is about. What are you talking about, doors? It doesn't even make any sense to me. You know, what the heck? You need Jesus. You need what Pastor Scott was singing about in the team. You need a rescue. You need a rescue from you. You need a rescue from that shame and guilt you're feeling. You need to be filled with the power of God. You need your spirit man to be made alive. You need Jesus. You're in the right place. Amen? Amen. And so here we are, and my desire for today as your pastor is to really just kind of give like a little Holy Ghost. Like, come on now. Let's go. We got things to do. This message is not a you guys. This is a us guys. Because it's for me too. I mean, God's speaking to me. I should be in a different place in some areas of my life than I am. And that's just the truth. And so this is for all of us. To say, you know what, I want to make right choices. Because I want the life that God has for me. So let's look over in our Bibles at Revelations. Don't get nervous. You're going to be all right. Everybody gets nervous in Revelation. Revelation chapter 3, verse number 7 through 8. It says, this part of it says, what he opens, no one can shut. And here's why this is so good, because I know there's some people in here today, and I've been you, so I know what it feels like. You feel like that opportunity is gone, that you were called of God, and God had some dreams on the inside of you, and you had some things you wanted to do, and you just had some stuff that God had placed in your heart, but you got off track. You got off track. Maybe you got off track just in distraction, and you're just going through life, and that part of your life has just been set aside. Or maybe you got off track like I did at one point. You got off track with sin. You got off track with the wrong people. You got off track with just all kind of wrong stuff and started living a life that wasn't of God. And so there's a voice inside of you. It's not inside of you. It's actually the enemy talking to you from the outside. And he's saying, that opportunity is gone. That door has closed. That will never happen because too much time has gone by. You've messed up too bad. You're not in the same place. That is done. But you know what? This verse shows me that that's not true. It shows me it's not true. Because the Bible says the door that he opened, nobody can shut, including you. The door for the life that God has for you is always open. Always. I say it all the time. It will never not be true. I have lived it. I know it's true. You can go 1,000 steps away from God. He is one step back, always. That door is always open. The Bible says the gifts and calling of God are without revoke or repentance. It means God doesn't take them from you because you messed up. They're still there. That whatever God has for you on the inside, it's not too late. The door is still open. We just got to make sure we go through it. But it can't be closed. The enemy can't close it. You can't close it. Your past cannot close it. Your behavior cannot close it. The door is open. The opportunity is there. Amen? And so then he goes on to say this. He says, what he opens, no one can shut. And what he shuts, no one can open. He says, I know your deeds. Those of you who are saying, I can't go through that door because of what I've done. God's saying, I know what you've done. God knows what you did. He knows what you've done, and the door is still open. Isn't that good? Oh, man, I love that. Because so often we're like, oh, I really blew it. I really messed up. I did this. I did this. We got a laundry list of all the things that we did. Listen, everybody has a list. Everybody's got a list. Some are longer than others, but everybody's got one. And he says, I know your deeds. And he says, see, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. That door's still open. Some of y'all just need to say, that door's still open. Amen. It's still open. Still, no matter what's happened, it's still open. And so the key is we got to make sure we find the right door. Right? We got to make sure that we're going in the right direction. And over in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 17, if you guys want to turn there or follow along in your Bible app, he says, be very careful. How careful? Very careful. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity, because the days are evil. He says, therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Understand what the will of the Lord is. We need to know the will of God for our lives. And so often, the number one question that I get asked probably as a minister is, how do I know the will of God? How do I know what God's will is? Or you hear people that say, the will of God's a mystery. God works in mysterious ways. And they say that because they want to use that as an excuse for saying, I have no idea what I'm doing. And that's not accurate. The Bible very clearly tells me right here in Ephesians, that I can know the will of God. The Bible tells me in Colossians chapter 1, it says that I can be filled with the knowledge of His will. So the first thing I got to start saying is, I know the will of God. I'm filled with the knowledge of God's will. And when I say that, what's going to happen? God's going to fill me with that. But if all I'm doing is walking around going, I don't know. I don't know what God's will is. I don't know. It's a mystery. No, His word tells me His will. And so I can know the will of God. And so when we're talking about going through doors, I'm going to help you this morning close a whole bunch of doors. All right? I'm going to help you put some signs. Do not enter. Do not enter. Dangerous. Do not enter. Not for me. We're just going to boom, 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 put those up. And the Bible says the way is narrow. And here's what God does. He's like, listen, here's my word, and it's going to show you that's not for you, that's not for you, that's not for you, that's not for you, that's not for you. This is for you. When we get His word into us, His word shows me His will, shows me His moral will. And so when I'm filled with His word, I'm going to be able to recognize many things and say, that's not for me. There are a lot of things you don't have to wonder if it's God's will. I don't have to wonder if it's God's will to commit adultery. Some of you are looking at me like, of course, you'd be surprised. You'd be surprised what people can just do. I call it mental gymnastics, where you're like, well, this and this and this, and you don't understand, but this. No, the word is the word. I call it living between the lines. This word, it has just His word, line after line after line after line. And if I live between those, it's going to close a lot of doors for me. But it's going to show me the right ones that are open. And so I want to live between the lines. And you know what? I hate when people are like, oh, color outside the lines. I want to say, no, don't. Don't color outside the lines. And I was telling first service about a little story about me. When I was in second grade, you know, I always did really well in school until I got in high school. And then things changed. But anyway, back to my story. So I remember when I was in elementary school, and there was a task where you had to put the sticker, and it had to go with the right word. Like it was a word, it would say like elephant, and you would put a picture, a sticker, of the elephant next to that word. You'd probably do okay on that, right? Mm-hmm. And so I'm doing it, and all of a sudden I thought to myself, it doesn't say that the sticker has to be right side up. And so as a little second grader, I thought, I'm going to put it upside down. And so I put the right sticker upside down on my paper. And you know what the teacher did? She marked it wrong. That's what I said. I said, but it's the right sticker. It's just upside down. And I'll never forget, she said, it's upside down. And then she said this, and you know better. And I was like, you're right, I do. So then I get home, and, you know, I had to show my dad all my papers every time I got home, you know, and that lasted all the way through high school, so some of those were a little uncomfortable. So, you know, but this, so I showed it to my dad, and my dad looks at it, and he goes, what is this? And I said, well, it's the right sticker. You know, I'm going to give my speech to him. I'm like, Dad, it's the right sticker. And he goes, but it's upside down. And I said, well, I wanted to see what would happen if I put it upside down. You know what he said? He goes, well, now you know. Now you know. And so when people are all like, color outside the lines, do it your way, I want to say, don't. Because number one, you know better. You know better. So many believers, Christians, sometimes, and Pastor Mark, my brother, he would always, when we would do something and it was totally outside the lines of the word, you know, maybe just a little bit, but you talk yourself into it like, well, you know, I know this isn't right, and I know that, you know, I've said this isn't right, and I know the word says this isn't right, but these circumstances, make it right. No, they don't. No, they don't. And you know what? You know better. And so then when all you know what breaks loose, and you're like, Lord, what happened here? I need your power. I need your favor. You're like, Lord, bless this. But God's saying, you knew better. I thank God we serve a merciful God, and he'll take your mess and he'll still help you. But every time we do that, it costs you a little bit. It costs you. Because you got to go through the consequences of whatever it is. God forgives, but there's still some consequences to things. And so next time you want to put that sticker upside down and talk yourself into it when you know what the word says, we need to rethink that. We need to rethink it. Because so much of the trouble we get ourselves in is because we talk ourselves out of doing what the word says. Do you get that? A lot of the trouble we get ourselves in is because we talk ourselves out of doing what the word says. Because we're like, oh, but you know, this is this and this. No, what does God say? Are you smarter than God? You got a better plan? You got more power? No, I didn't think so. I'm talking to myself. That's what I tell myself. You know? Because we're always like, well, I can make it work. No, let's just do it God's way, and it will work. Amen? Let's just do it God's way, and it will work. Instead of trying to do what I did with that door, how can I make this work? It won't work. It's the wrong door. Amen? And so when we're talking about God's will, a lot of God's will, most of God's will is already explained. It's already in his word. Do you know the word is filled with information and knowledge and wisdom on who to be in a relationship with? Some of you didn't know that. You need to know. It's filled with how to do business. It's filled with how to manage your finances. It's filled with how to raise your children. It's filled with how to be an employee. It's filled with how to be a boss. It's filled with how to be a wife, how to be a husband, how to be a parent. It's filled with everything we need.
Amen.
But instead of looking there, we're like, well, I wonder what the will of God is. And God's like, it's right there. His moral will is right there. If we live between those lines, man, it's going to save us a whole lot of headache. It's going to save us so much headache. And it's going to show us, hey, that door is not for you. You know, for you single people in here, when you got bachelor number one and bachelor number two and bachelor number three, and you're like, who should I date? Well, this one doesn't go to church. He's out. This one, he's not saved, but he loves spiritual things. But, you know, Jesus, he's like, oh, why is it always going to be all about Jesus? You know, there's a lot of other gods we can talk about, and they all lead to the same place. You are out. You just need to look him right in the face and say, buddy, you're good looking, but you are out. Because the Bible says not to be unequally yoked. And that's why when you date, you think, and the next person comes, he's like, oh, I love God, I love God. I love God, I love everything about God. You say, well, do you go to church? No, but I love God. I'll go for you. I'll go for you. And here they come, and they sit in church, and they're like, glory. No! No! You're like, well, that's all the doors. That's all the doors you see right now. The way is narrow. Or on the job, we're like, well, you know, this is how they do business here, and I know it's not really right. No! No. We need to just put, do not enter on that door. That's not for me. That's not for me. For me is described in here. God's will, when you get it, his word in you, it will narrow down the doors. You say, but man, I feel like I'm missing out on a lot of those doors. You're not missing anything that you want. You might want it for a season. You might want it for a moment. You might want it for a minute. But we're talking about your life. And anything behind those doors is going to steal and rob from what God really has for you. And what God really has for you is better than anything behind those doors. Better than anything behind those doors. And so we need a little course correction. We need to remind ourselves, because it's hard to say no to some doors, isn't it? It's hard, but you know what? Psalms 139, turn over there. Psalms 139, verse number 16. I've been just meditating on this verse so much lately, and a friend of mine used it in a sermon that she did for a women's conference. And I tell you, it just spoke to me so mightily. And he says, "Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them ever came to be." And she said this. She said, "God saw this day. God saw every day you have. He saw it." And God is Jehovah Jireh. We know that, right? He's the Lord who sees ahead. And what does he do? He provides. And so God saw this day. So every day that you have, every tough decision you have to make, every hard choice, every time you got to say no and everything in you wants to say yes, but you're like, "I'm going to do the right thing." God saw that day. And he provided his power, his patience, his love, his compassion, his mercy, his authority. He provided all you needed for this day to be a success. He provided the healing that you need. He provided all that you need for every day you have. God saw this day. Next time you're having a bad day, just look up and say, "Lord, I thank you. You saw this day. And you provided all I need for this day. What I need to get through this day, I've got. It's in me. Because the greater one is in me." Amen? But God has a plan for you. Look at your neighbor and say, "God's got a plan. God's got a plan." And it says that his days that he ordained for you. So God has days for you, but how many added a little bit to the book? How many added some unordained days to the book? Anybody? How many added a whole books? How many added an encyclopedia? Young people, they don't know what an encyclopedia is. It's a big old set of books, you know? And so, some of us added a lot of stuff, but the good news is, no matter what we've added, God still has a plan. God still has a plan. And so when we look here over in Romans chapter 6, turn there if you would. No, turn to Romans chapter 5. I didn't get ahead of myself. We need a course correction. How many need a little course correction? I know I need one. I need one. And so we got some good news. I love this verse. It's used a lot, but let's look at it in a different way. In Romans chapter 5, verse number 20. Because I know there's probably some people in here, maybe one or two, maybe more, and you're thinking, you're that person saying, "You know what, Peggy, that door is gone. That dream I had, that vision I had, that marriage we're supposed to have is gone. This is what it is. This is what it is." And you got all these reasons. And the enemy is saying, "Yep, it's too late, it's done, it's over. I've done too much." Some of you in here today, you're way off track. You've sinned a lot. And here's the good news, all of us have. But you're way over. You're way out of bounds, we could put it like that. I got great news for you today. You've heard this verse before, but let's read it different. It says, "But where sin increased," somebody in here might be saying, that's my life, yeah. "But where sin increased," here's the good news, "grace increased all the more." Now, we always use this verse and say, as the world gets darker, as sin increases in the world, the grace of God increases. And that's true. That's a true statement. But you know what? My God is personal. So is yours. This word is personal. It's for me. And so I can look at it like this. As my sin has increased, as I have gotten more and more off track, as I have missed the mark more, God's love for me is so great that his grace for me has increased as well. Look at it like that. So what is God saying? This is a God, you know, so many people think God's like this. You've increased. You've increased here. You're missing it. It's increased. It's increased a lot. I'm done. I'm done with you. I'm done. I'm just so disappointed. I can't even look at you. Can't even look at you. That's how people think God is. But the God of the Bible, the God that we love and who loves us, he says, listen, your sin, woo, you've increased. You've increased so much that I'm going to take my grace and I'm going to increase it for you as well. So you can have all that you need to get out of this mess that you're in. That's the God we serve. And some of you are like, what is grace? You don't even know what grace is. That's okay. Everybody starts somewhere. You think grace is like, Father, thank you for this food. What's that, through the teeth, past the gums? No. That's not it. Here's the best definition of God's grace. Stick here. Ready? God's riches at Christ's expense. You get that? It spells grace. Get it? Help you along a little bit. God's riches at Christ's expense. And so God loves me so much. He sees that my sin, because remember, he knows my deeds. He sees that my sin has increased, that I am off track. I have gone through the wrong door. I am far gone. I'm just a mess. I'm a mess. He loves me so much that he says, my grace for you will increase in this time. And here's what grace is. It's all the great stuff that God has. It's his power. It's his mercy. It's his compassion. It's his redemption. It's his forgiveness. It's everything good you can think of that God has. And he balls it all up in one and says, you're going through a hard time. Your sin has increased. You need this. Where sin increases, so does grace. Why? Because God loves you. And God wants to give you all the power you need to come home. God wants to give you all the power you need to say no. God wants to give you all the power you need to get up and change direction, to repent. His grace increases too. Isn't that so good? Man, that's the love of God. God loves us so much. And so, you know, we got to keep reading, because how many know Romans keeps going? In Romans chapter 6, 1 and 2, we got to make sure we don't do this, because Paul, I believe Paul wrote this, and he says, shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? Paul says, by no means. By no means. He says, we died to sin. How can we live in it any longer? But you know what? That's kind of the attitude that we can get sometimes. Anybody here ever been on a diet? I've been on one or two. And you know what? I don't know about you, but I've had those days where it's like, all right, Monday. I'm coming Monday. And I got this. And then Monday comes and somebody invites you out to breakfast. You got to go. You can't say no. You're like, that's all right. I'm going to get 2 eggs. No home fries. No home fries. I'm going to eat good. We need good. So you go there, and they say, the lady comes. She says, well, here's the specials. We got pancakes. You're like, ooh, pancakes. So next thing you know, you're eating pancakes on the day your diet was supposed to start. So then what do? We're like, well, forget it. I already blew it. I already blew breakfast. Might as well have chicken fingers and fries for lunch. Right? And then you're like, well, I blew breakfast, and now I just blew lunch. I might as well have spaghetti and meatballs and garlic toast for dinner. And then, because I just blew it so bad, I might as well head on over to Cold Stone Creamery and get a Love It. Has anybody else ever done that? And see, what does that add? More pounds. I speak from experience. More pounds. And you know what? When we take the same attitude towards sin, you know what it adds? More hurt. More destruction. More distance between us and God. And so let's never have that idea that, oh, well, I already blew it. I might as well, you know, just go for it. I already, you know, young people, they get this mindset like, well, I already went too far. Might as well just go ahead and do the whole deal. No. We died to sin. We still sin because we're not perfect. But we got to remind ourselves, I'm dead to that. Jesus died for me so I could get out of that. I'm not going to go wallow in it. So never use grace. Never, if you've got the attitude that says, well, I'll just ask for forgiveness. You need a course correction. You're about ready to walk through the wrong door, and it's called destruction. The best thing you can do is repent, change your direction, and get through the right door. God's grace is there for me when I am weak, not when I am rebellious. That's good. So what am I going to do? What am I going to do to change my course? Let me give you just three questions to ask yourself. Number one, let's ask ourselves this question, because all of us probably need a course correction, a little bit here and there, maybe a lot, but the questions work no matter where you're at. Let's ask ourselves this question. What am I doing that I should not be doing? Romans 12:2 says, do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, his pleasing, and his perfect will. You know what? I'll take any of those. Some people are like, oh, I want the perfect will of God. Sure we do, but man, I'll take any of them. I just want to be in God's will. But the Bible says in order for me to do that, I got to stop following the pattern the world has set. And I got to follow the pattern that God has set. And that's living between these two lines. Listen, just because the world says something's okay doesn't make it okay. Amen? Just because you know, like your parents, if everybody jumped off a bridge, right? Listen, just because everybody's saying something is okay doesn't make it okay. What does the word say? Because as long as I stick between these two lines, I'm going to be okay. Amen? And so let's ask ourselves, what am I doing that I really shouldn't be doing? And that might be a big thing, it might be a little thing. But whatever it is, let's stop. Sometimes we want to make things so complicated, like, oh, I got to do, we just need to stop. And here's the next one's going to help you. The next question will help you do number one. What am I not doing that I should be doing? And really, I'd encourage everybody to focus here. What am I not doing that I should be doing? The Bible says in James 4:17, it says, anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it, sins. He sins. And so if I'll just start doing what I know I need to do, it's going to help me take care of what I'm doing that I'm not supposed to do. Because a lot of times we want to stop doing what we know we're not supposed to do, but we want to try to do it in our own strength. We want to try to do it on our own, and you just don't have what it takes. We need help from God. And so if I'll do what I know I'm supposed to do, how many know we're supposed to pray? That'll help. You know, we have a joke. It's a joke, but it's really not that funny. Where I say, let's pray, and we'll say, has it come to that? You know, the quicker we pray, the better we're going to be. Amen? The quicker we run to God with anything, the better off everything's going to be. And so when we don't do what we're supposed to do, the Bible calls that sin. It says you're missing it. And the word sin is not like, oh, you know, red letter, bad person. No, it just means you missed it. It's like you miss an exit. Pass right by. You miss things. You missed it. You missed the mark. And so God says, listen, when you don't do what you know you're supposed to be doing, you're missing the mark. You're missing what you need. So I need to pray. I need to read the Bible. Do you know the Bible says that when I read it, it's a reflection. I can see my reflection in it. People are always like, oh, I want to find myself. You know? You know where you're going to find yourself? In the Word. Because that's where you'll see yourself. The Bible says the Word of God is powerful like a two-edged sword. It's able to separate you. I love what the Message Bible says. It's able to expose you for who you really are. You want to find yourself? Get in the Word. Get in the Word. You'll find yourself. You'll find your purpose. You'll find what God made you for. We need to get into his word. And you know, I need to go to church. Church is important. I say this, church days affect all your days. They have an impact on every day. And when we get this idea that we're too spiritual to go to church, you're in trouble. You've taken a road of pride. You've taken a door of pride. You're not too spiritual to go to church. God says that he placed you in the body because that body needs you, and you need that body. Church is important. and we start listening to everybody telling us all the reasons why we don't need to go to church, we're letting the enemy talk to us. Because church is important. It's part of the plan that God has for us. And so what am I doing that I really shouldn't be doing? Sometimes we need to lay some stuff down and say, you know what, I want God more than that. I want God more than that TV show. I want God more than that dysfunctional relationship. I want God more than that. What are we not doing that we should be doing? How can we expect to have a blessed, prosperous, God-filled life if we're not filling our lives with God? That's deep. You know? How do we expect something to be have the blessings of God on it when it was never God's idea in the first place? How do we expect things to work out for us when we blatantly don't do it the way God said to do it? And then we're like, well, make it work. That's not how it works. God's mercy is there. But God's saying, hey, get into my word. Find out my will, my way, and do it that way. It's always going to work better. So what am I doing that I shouldn't be doing? What do I need to do that I'm not doing? And lastly, last question, why not do it today? Why not do it today? Let's not be the people on December 31st looking back on our year saying, why did I take this door? Why did I do this? Why didn't I change? Why didn't I spend time with God? Let's not be that person. Let's be the person on December 31st, we can look back on the year and say, I grew closer to God this year. I learned about who I am through his word this year. I sought God's will for my life this year. I changed and became more like Jesus this year. Let's be that person. You know how you're going to be that person? Stop doing what you know you're not supposed to be doing and do what you know you're supposed to. Let's pray together. Father, we pray right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, I pray for every person in this room. Lord, I know that there's some of us, we need to make big course corrections, and maybe there's others of us, we just need to make a few things. Just maybe lay some things down and pick more of you up. But Lord, I pray that no matter where we are, that Lord, today we will make a decision and put action behind it where we say, today's the day that I do what I know I'm supposed to do. Because I know better. Today's the day I make a decision to spend more time with you, Lord. Today's the day I make a decision to be committed to my local church. Today's the day that I make a commitment to get your word in me. Because, Lord, if I'm going to be full of anything, I want to be full of your word. Lord, today's the day that I make a course correction, close all these wrong doors, and go through the door that you have for me, the door of life, the door of forgiveness, the door of redemption, the door of healing, the door of prosperity, the door of wisdom, the door that leads to joy, the door that leads to peace. Lord, the door that has your name on it. Isaiah said, whether I go to the right or to the left, there is a voice behind me saying, this is the way, walk in it. Lord, I pray for every person in this room today that we would hear your voice. We would hear your voice of direction and we would walk in it. Oh, I thank you, Lord. Lord, give us eyes to see if we're in the wrong place. Give us eyes to see if we have fallen for pride. Give us eyes to see if our house is out of order. Give us eyes to see so that we can close those doors and have your plan for our life. Give us eyes to see, Lord. Direct us. And in areas where we've let some stuff in, we've made some decisions, we've talked ourselves into stuff, when your word has clear direction, Lord, give us strength to make the change. Give us strength to make the change, to get between the lines. Oh, we thank you, Lord. If you're here today and maybe all this is new to you, maybe you're here today and you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, oh, you're in the right place today. You're in the place who's going to tell you who Jesus really is. He's the Son of God. And he came down from heaven to earth for you. He gave his life and paid the price for all your mistakes. He did that so that you could be rescued, so that you could be forgiven, so that you could have a relationship with God the Father. He did that so that you could be saved from hell. And so why did he do that? He did it because he loves you. He loves you like no one else. And to receive the gift of what he did for you, all you have to do is receive him. Say yes to him. Say yes. Yes, Jesus. I accept the gift of salvation. I accept and receive forgiveness for all my sin. And I thank you that I have a relationship with God the Father. I'm saved. I've been made brand new. That's what God wants to do for you. He's not going to force it on you, but if you'll accept him, he'll give it to you. So if that's you today with nobody looking around, maybe today is your first day here, maybe you've been here many times, but today's the day you're making a decision to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. If that's you, just raise your hand up big and tall. You say, why do I have to raise my hand? Because when you raise your hand, you raise your heart and you say, Lord, here I am. Rescue me. Anybody like that in this place today? Thank you. I see your hand, honey. Anybody else? I see your hand. Anybody else? I see your hand. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord. For the three people who raised their hand, let's all say this prayer together with them. Because one great thing about being in the body of Christ is you're never alone again. You're always with family. So let's all say pray this together. Say, Father God, I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that he came, that he died, and he rose again, all for me. He paid the price for my sin. He's forgiven me and received me and made me brand new. I am born again, a child of God, on my way to heaven. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Woo! Hey, for the three people who raised your hand, please don't leave here without seeing this guy right down here. That's Pastor Steve. He's got just a pamphlet of information. He's not going to keep you here long or anything. He just wants to hand it to you and say hey and welcome you into the family of God. Amen. This is a journey that you don't do alone. That's why you need church family. So don't walk out of here without grabbing that, all right? There's no cost. It's free. We just want to hand it to you and say welcome to the family. Amen. Amen. All right, here's what we're going to do. You guys ready? We're going to receive our supernatural tithes and offerings.